moment you've all been waiting for.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are back with your favorite show, my favorite show. It's the Threads of Time podcast, and I am making a comeback. You haven't heard my voice in a while, and I know you're disappointed, but I had to come back because I got the, I was going to say girl I've been chasing for a long time, but that's just metaphorical. This is the guy I've been chasing for a long time. I've been trying to get him on the podcast, and finally he relented. I wore him down. Eventually he had to submit. You might know him as Jar. You might know him as Joaquin Andujar, but I just know him as my friend Dave. Jar, welcome to the podcast.
I got a big fucking boner right now.
See what the podcast does to you? We're breaking news on the Threads of Time. Was that the goat from Adam Sandler?
That was indeed.
It's so funny you just did that because I was just joking around with some guys at work where I was like, they told me to put up my dukes. I gotta know dukes. Are you going to the Ragu Festival? We should just do the entire podcast in Adam Sandler.
Kathleen Turner's got big fucking tits. All right, that's the last one.
All right. I was going to go into Toll Booth Willie, but it's probably too late for that. So how's everything going, man?
Not going too bad. Adjustment, but we're going. And I'm just glad to get back in the swing of things, I think.
Now, for those of you that don't know out there, how many kids do you have?
A pile.
You have
three.
Three kids, two boys, one girl?
Yes, a 7-year-old boy, a 5-year-old boy, and a 4-year-old girl.
My God. That is absolute madness.
It is. Anybody that has more than two is crazy, and anybody that stops at zero is pretty well set.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty well set. Now, let me tell you why you did it wrong. If you have the girl first, she's more likely to be willing to babysit at 7 years old. If you have a 7-year-old boy, he's most likely to make the 4-year-old girl miserable.
Oh, that is correct.
Yeah, you gotta switch that up.
But I think the boys really slow you down because the boys come out as hard as they're going to get, and then they get easier. Or the girls come out as easy as they're going to get, and they get harder.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
We might have thought that this child-raising thing is easy, and let's have more. But, so I don't know. Hey, I was kind of happy that they were so close together to kind of get it out of the way. Because I know we wanted three. I don't know what we were thinking, but we wanted three.
So
can't put them back now anyway.
They're all out of school right now, right?
Yeah, they are. They're in a school-sanctioned summer camp that runs the same length as school. I drop them off at 7:30 and pick them up by 6. So it's...
Oh, that's good. Get a little reprieve.
Yeah.
When you say sanctioned, it sounds like it's prison.
They enjoy their time there, but I don't think they ever let them outside.
Really?
They got fences around the school in Florida. This like whole state is fenced in. I don't know if it's to keep out bears or alligators, whatever, but the whole state is fenced. But they definitely have fences at the school. I guess they can get out to the playground and stuff like that, but they don't leave the school grounds.
Honestly, I've been to Florida multiple times. I'm confident that the fences are there to keep you in. There's no one that voluntarily lives in Florida, I don't believe, unless the people that I know in Florida get so sun-drenched and they have that leathery brown skin and, they unbutton their shirt about halfway down, they have gold chains, and they do erratic things when they drink liquor. Is that what you're becoming?
No, in my current condition, I try to keep my shirt on as much as possible. But it also helps so that, like, when I die, they're not going to turn my shoulders into baseball gloves, that sort of stuff.
In Florida, man, the bigger the belly, the better.
Oh, man. Well, I live and I actually work in a retirement community called The Villages. And lot of the people here...
Oh, sorry. That's the largest retirement community in the world, right?
That's what they say. They say about 100,000 people live here.
Jeez.
So, it's interesting. I was told that it's Disneyland for seniors by a guy that I used to manage at my old job, and he was just moving here. He's retiring in a couple years, and it's pretty nice there for him. They got 50 golf courses and all these clubs that they can do. You name it, they got a club for it. So, but it's almost like not real life for people that are not old, like joke age, I guess.
Okay, I have a couple of questions about this.
All right.
First, what do you do for the Villages?
I'm on their web development team. We manage about 50 websites for the Villages.
What do you mean, manage websites? None of those motherfuckers know what the internet is.
Oh, you'd be surprised. They all use their phones just like normal folk, I guess.
Are they on Tinder?
Well, we don't manage their Tinder site if they are. But they all register for their tee times online, and they can still use a phone to call in if they probably have to be touch tone, not rotary. But they definitely these are the way I look at it. The people that would actually leave their home and move to Florida to retire are not the type of people that are more into technology and up on things like, you know. My parents, they would never leave Illinois to move to Florida. And they're a little slow on the tech. Like, they got the phone that you buy minutes for. You know, they would never use the internet here. But that's the type of people we got.
Are you sure that your parents aren't just buying those phones because they're dealing drugs?
They might be. They got a lot of time on their hands.
And they probably have a lot of Vicodin and muscle relaxers.
That's true.
Might need to get their number.
There's a shoe hanging from the power line outside of their house, if that means anything.
That's the identifier, yeah. So the other question I have is 100,000 people. I'm just doing the math here, and you said there's 50 golf courses.
Something like that. I don't know for certain. But so, yeah, about 50.
That's a golf course for every 2,000 people. How often are these people playing golf?
The ones I know personally are probably golfing 2 or 3 times a week. They do golf. They got a lot of time on their hands, too. I know that also the guy I know, he's in a shuffleboard league. He plays poker twice a week. I can't think. He's in a couple other things that are just kind of off the wall because they got clubs. They got thousands of clubs here. You name it, they have a club for it. They probably got a Madison, Wisconsin club.
Oh, I bet they do. I bet they do. So,
out of back here.
So, what would you say the average age of the people are there? Like 65, 70? Or is it older than that?
No, I'm going to say 65 or, excuse me, 65 or 70.
Okay, so they're young enough to get around.
Yeah, it's a
vibrant community.
The other thing that you probably, if you heard anything about the Villages, is it's also the STD capital of the country.
I did not know that. Is that true?
Yeah, very much so. And is a very interesting dynamic here. The place essentially shuts down at 9 because that's when old people go to bed, apparently. I call them old, but, you know, retirees. They got this town square where they got live music every night. And a couple months ago, a couple got caught having sex in the gazebo in the middle of the square.
Yes!
At 10 p.m. They really thought that, and maybe they knew that they would be able to get away with it. Maybe they'd done it several times there. I don't know. But definitely, they got caught in the gazebo at 10 p.m.
I like this place. I need to hang out there and troll for blue hairs.
You should come. Yeah, you should come visit. I work right above a bar, and they're doing karaoke 10 a.m. some days. Tuesday morning, 10 a.m., karaoke.
You know, it's only going to be 3 more years before Harold Cole can move there.
He looks like he's about ready to hang him up this past season.
Yeah.
I didn't comment on it, but he must have got some of that SPC development or drills money.
I had full development and drills the whole time he was there. I'm ashamed that he did not win a World Series with me. He should have. I had, if you think about it, likely Rufus Mickelson is going to go down as the greatest hitter that's ever played. And Harold Cole is going to go down as the greatest pitcher that ever played. And I had him on the exact same team, along with a number one overall pick pitcher in Sterling Pound. And I still couldn't put it down.
And yeah, and some of those teams I had when he was young were just like him and that slattery guy pitching. You shouldn't need anything else.
Oh, yeah, there's, you had Skipper Slattery on the same team?
Yeah. Well, I pretty hard to get those guys.
Yeah, so Harold Cole had a 5.57 ERA last year in his first losing season ever. That's not good.
Yeah.
464 wins.
I have my daughter here right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you want to say hi, Jason?
Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you? Good. Nice to meet you.
You want to tell him good night?
Good night. Good night.
Let's go back to bed.
But can I have a drink?
A drink. Yeah, we can get a drink. Hey, I need 2 seconds.
All right, no problem. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now we're doing what's called a time filler. If you could see me right now, I'd be moving my hands out, like stretch it out. I'm trying to stretch, fill time. So, one thing that I'm going to get to when Jar gets back is we're going to talk about the famous SPC-CCS Laredo Lone Rangers rivalry. And which I do believe that I'm winning significantly.
I hear every fucking word.
Oh, no!
I'm coming out of the booth! All right, continue.
Did you really hear what I was saying?
Oh, yeah. It's on very, very loud. It's probably why she's not asleep.
Oh, we're keeping kids up on the Threads of Time podcast. Even the kids stay up to listen to this show.
All right, let's talk about this rivalry thing.
So, how do you remember that the rivalry began?
Well, I could be wrong, but what I remember is I was very focused on, when I first started in the league, Pimp and Clone had really good teams. And actually, Croco had a good team at the time, too. Well, that was back when the Spitard thing got started. But it seemed like every season when we would go to Interleague, I'd get bored. So, and you were really good too at the time. So I made it my point to set up my rotations and hype up the fact that I was like going after, I was trying to like get an idea of how the playoffs would be if I had matched up against you. So basically I just hyped up our season series. And maybe one or two seasons after that started, the Thomas Curtis thing started, which was fun. I'm still going to believe that you really, really did hate him for a while.
Oh, I did. No, that's 100% true. He is probably my least favorite player of all time.
I know that. I think that's when you started buying it, is when I started starting him at full rest with minus 50 fatigue just to see how long he could go. He made it seven innings a couple times.
You know, the crazy thing about Thomas Curtis, or one thing that I think about now, is in the relegation league, my team was needed something. It needed a star player really bad. So I traded you a bunch of picks and a shortstop with pretty good range and everything right at the beginning of that first season to get the guy that I eventually renamed Papa Tua. And the reason I got him is because he had monster stats, but his EN is 46, and I know that's why you traded him. And I never mentioned it at the time, but I knew you were trading me Thomas Curtis of the relegation league.
19-year-old Thomas Curtis.
Yep.
Yeah, he's good, but he's only good for 200 innings.
And it's crazy, in that league, I'm going to bring him up real quick. He had a crazy good ERA. Let's see if I can get him here. All right, so he's had a 2.59 ERA, a 2.3, a 2.13 in his first three seasons, but he's only won a total of 31 games. He can't win any games because he just doesn't pitch long enough.
Yeah, it's rough.
This year, though, he's coming strong. His stat line: 98 power, 99 finesse, 92 control. He's beautiful.
He just went eight innings against me. Oh, he threw a one-hitter earlier this year.
Yeah.
Complete game one-hitter.
Yeah, he's at minus 43 fatigue for throwing 88 pitches. That's probably not good.
But in this kind of league, I think he works. You can run up his CFAT and not worry about it because you're not concerned about the postseason.
Can I be honest with you?
Sure.
I still have no clue how this league works. None at all. I have no idea what happens in the playoffs, if they matter, if they don't. I don't totally understand what happens if you're in the bottom tier and you finish in last place. I have no idea if you get kicked out of the league or not. I know nothing.
You just signed up because I said, I forget what I said in that PM, but it was basically, hey, why don't you sign up? I could use somebody with some name recognition.
Well, that's partially true, but the other part that you need to remember is I literally, after 10 plus years in the game, still have no idea how it's played. I didn't even know. I got a strike in TCL last year because I didn't know that you had to be below the salary cap by 331 instead of 41. I had no idea. So I got a strike, and I freaked out. I don't even know the rules of the league that I pay the most attention to.
I remember you freaking out. I didn't remember the terms.
Well,
those are fun discussions. I flip-flop back and forth on whether I thought they were real, or whether I thought I should poke more fun at it. I'm not in the league, obviously, so it doesn't matter. It's like you can strike me all you want for making poor Zubaz threads or something.
Well, when I was freaking out about the strikes themselves, that was real. I lost my shit. I don't know. I think I was going through I was having a man period.
Life's rough. Sometimes you got to have those.
Yeah, I think that's what I was doing. I don't know. But, yeah, I just couldn't handle seeing my name at the top of that list. And it's just because I've been around so long and also because I got a lot of strikes.
They really should fall off at some point in time. But, you know, the strike system is only there so that essentially people that aren't paying attention or people that aren't doing what is required in a very active league can get kicked out.
But I got my first two strikes before I even got married. That's how long ago it was. I hadn't even gotten married, much less divorced.
How many strikes was getting married worth?
Right? Exactly. That was probably the third strike. That's probably what caused the downfall. I should have gotten voted out of that. I gotta just show up, and my buddies are like, "God, I'm sorry. Sorry, we can't let you in here. You got voted out of this wedding."
This was not approved by a majority of the league.
No. That would have made things a lot easier.
Indeed.
But I got out of it without any kids, like you said, so I came out ahead.
Imagine?
I do whatever I want when I come home. I just come home, I make a mess. It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
I pee in the sink. I don't care.
That's pretty cool. Do you at least have the stopper in so you keep that stuff?
No, I don't. I don't do that just in case the feds come in and test my urine. I still probably have some ayahuasca in there. You know, that's who Papa Tu is named after. Papa Tu. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I did not know that. That one.
Yeah, Papa Tua is the was the spirit god of ayahuasca. When I was down there the first time, I met Papa Tua in a vision. So he's like my visionary player. That's why I renamed him.
That's a good name. The ones with meanings are always the best.
How about you? Who's your favorite rename?
Oh, man, I'm so bad at renames. I'm sure you can pick out the really, really dumb ones that I've come up with.
Was Skipper Slattery a rename, right?
Yeah, actually, he was a rename, but he was just a player that I saw in a different draft list at the time, and I thought that name sounded cool. So, yeah, give me that. I want to rename him to Skipper Slattery. I forget what his name was. I just thought it was dumb.
Wait, so you renamed him after a player in a different league?
Yeah. He was awful, but I thought he had a really neat name. And then I did my research because I didn't want to get kind of branded in the joke group of renames. And there was kind of a Skipper Slattery that had a boat that sank or something. But I just went ahead with the name, but... And he can't buy jelly, so it's in there now.
Yeah, it's too late now. That guy's almost retired, I think. Maybe he is retired. I don't know.
Might be.
So let's talk about getting you back in the league.
Let's talk about that.
You're thinking about it, aren't you?
Not really likely, but I guess nothing's impossible. I got a lot going on right now,
No, you don't.
I didn't have a few months ago, and I signed up for a couple four-day leagues that I'd have to drop, and, man, I'm really attached to those. All right, that's right. I would consider it at some point. I don't want to kick anybody out of the league.
Let's talk about all the people I would kick out of the league for you. let's just pick spitball, because I don't like anyone in that division.
I wouldn't join a spitball. No, I'm either coming back to small ball or that dead. Other.
You should call about dead ball.
I hear dead ball's really good now.
Actually, they are really good. We had three teams finish with 94 wins or more. And, it was tight.
I saw you had six teams in the top 24 of the really super happy ranking.
Yeah, we're the best. We're the best. So, but okay, here we go. So, in spitball, Jay Kohler, certainly going to kick him out because he screwed me in Survivor, because I totally won Survivor, totally won it, and he rallied, so he's gone. Dark Wolf, I would normally let him stay because he's good, but number one, he doesn't want the belt, even though PR lost it. Let me go off on a rant about that in a minute, but we're going to kick him out anyways. Hawkeye had a guy that lost 25 games last year, won like three, never took him out of the starting lineup, so he's gone. Jelly, we're going to kick him out because the arrogance level of this league needs to come down a bit. Drink Slinger, he can stay. I like him. Joke Line, he's gone. So you can get five out of six teams.
sweet, my chances are good. Nah, I don't think I'd take over for any of those guys.
No. No,
but I would consider it. I wouldn't join after a team dropped. I think that sometimes that looks a little weird. Like, you know, I don't like the people on the list, so I'm going to join, and, you know, so we don't get a phony joker in or something like that. I don't know. But I'd certainly think about it someday. I mean, it'd be nice to win the belt and, you know, put my name on it or something, put Thomas Curtis's name on it.
No, there is no belt. Didn't you hear about this?
It'll show up.
Are you sure? Because I think it's gone. I think PR...
No, I don't. I don't. I haven't really heard about it. Please tell me about it, because I'm sure you have something, some opinion you'd probably like to get out about it.
Yeah, so PR had the belt. He never really did a video, and then he just kind of half-assed this one where he had this girl on roller skates show it for half a second. And then Gaudius won it. No one said anything for about a week and a half. Then Gaudius asked for the belt. PR said he sent it. 3 weeks go by. We're in the playoffs. We're in the World Series. And then Gaudius says he didn't ever have the belt. I asked PR about it. PR's like, oh, I mailed it weeks ago. Now the belt's just gone. He's like, well, I'll check with my old roommate, see if it came back there. I don't know what happened to the belt. I think he stole it, or I think he sold it for drug money.
Huh. Well, first of all, that sucks.
It super sucks. That belt was like $1,000.
Yeah, and it was
gorgeous.
And to me, it just sounds crazy that, you know, like, PR was so excited to win that belt.
He made a thread the season before talking about how it was going to be the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope that's not the end of the story.
That's the end right now.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, I hope it turns up.
I do too. That belt, that was special to the league. You know, and not just you know, not to trivialize the money that you spent to make it, but like the effort involved in sending it around, just the discussion and the camaraderie that it brought. That, you know, that was a big deal. So I really hope it turns up and there's more to this than.
If the belt doesn't turn up, I can't even take PR's team away. He already gave up his team. I don't know. I don't know what we're gonna do. I don't know.
You get his address. Well, he doesn't live there anymore.
No.
His address from Wolf, and on the 10th anniversary Vegas, you know, road trip. But doesn't help either if he's not living there.
We'll personally deliver a pizza to his house, a Pizza Hut pizza, and foot him in person. I think he's coming to Vegas. I think he's going to be there. If he does, we're going to give him a blanket party.
I don't know what a blanket party is.
Yeah, blanket parties in like Full Metal Jacket style in the military when somebody's screwing you over while they're under their cover sleeping. One guy or two guys hold down the blanket on both sides so they can't get out from under their bed, and then the rest of the group beats them with pillowcases full of soap.
We should use quarters.
Yeah, we could use quarters. We could make it a new Vegas sock quarter story.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a pretty good idea.
I think we can do something there.
So, does this mean that you're coming to Vegas?
I'm going to try.
Yes!
I really am going to try. I got some obstacles to overcome. Namely, I'm all out of PTO, and I need somebody to watch kids. But I think it's possible. I'm probably less than 50-50, but I'm more than zero, which is what I was for the other ones.
So what could I do to increase those chances? Do you want me to find a babysitter?
No.
I can do it.
I don't. I think I would trust the ones I find better. I mean, we got babysitters. I got my in-laws here. I'm sure that the best option would be for them to stay with the in-laws for a weekend. The other option would be to fly in somebody, my mom or a friend. That, you know, I've had people volunteer. I told one of our friends about Vegas while they were here, and she said, "You're going."
Yes.
So I got somebody here that knows me and knows my kids and that said, I already said I'm going. But I do have a couple other obstacles that I definitely need to, they need to get out of the way first. And one of them is not even under my control at this point. Sorry about being vague on that issue, but.
I think you're missing the clear answer right in front of you. There's most definitely a babysitter club at the Villages.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Yeah, where they just babysit people. Usually old men that are pissing themselves. So they'd probably love three children running around.
Let me check that out really fast here. Calendar, babysitter club.
Yeah.
They found no events. People don't babysit kids.
Nah, they're there. They call it something different.
I just about searched kidnapping club on.
Yeah, how about grandkid club?
No. Plus, I would want somebody a little younger than senior citizen age for a weekend. That's a lot. Three kids is too much. In all seriousness.
Well,
I don't even think it should be the in-laws because that's a lot for the kids.
I feel there. Like there's enough fences in Florida that you could probably just let them run free.
There is?
Well, you said they got everything's fenced in Florida. And then maybe you just get one of those crocodile guys to throw meat into the pen every once in a while and let them divvy it up based on dominance.
Yeah, there's a deer farm right down the road. They fenced it in with actual a wooden fence, so I can't see in. But I know they got 1,000 deer in there. I could throw them in there. Deer don't hurt as much as alligators, and then the kids can just eat the deer.
Yeah, that's smart. You only have to pay them a couple bucks. See what I did there? Bucks, deer? No. All right.
Don't you think it will work?
Ah, there you go. That one was a Bambi. sorry. We should just rack that when we had a chance. So speaking of gatherings, I want you to get on record about how you destroyed the St. Louis gathering when we had all the buy-in.
I'll definitely take credit for it.
Yeah.
That was your fault. Oh, that happened. That was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because we were going to meet in St. Louis, and then I moved to Florida.
I even had reservations at the Sheraton Clayton set up for us. We had like 8 people confirmed. It was the year after Minneapolis.
Oh, man. Because that would have been good. I would have enjoyed that. I told Ken this the other day. I had talks with Reds was going to come in early, and Afro was going to ride with him. And they were going to stay at my house for a day or two. And this was... So I dreamed up this skit, and I was going to have my two kids ride a Power Wheels into the garage, and I was going to shave one of them bald, and he'd be Afro, and the other would have on a red shirt, and I was going to tell him that he really likes the Reds, and he was going to... I had like one or two lines. It was like completely something Afro would say, and completely something Reds would say. I had the perfect video script. And then that all fell through, so I didn't make the video either.
That would have been hilarious.
I might even have the words for that script somewhere, and I'll have to reread it before I embellish the fact that I think it's so great. It could be totally awful at this point.
Yeah, I wish you would have made that, because Reds and Afro actually did get together at one point, and just the thought of their conversations got me excited.
Only to be rivaled by you meeting D-Man at a Perkins or something.
Red Lobster in Kokomo, Indiana. He never showed up.
That is an absolute shame. That might be one of the most disappointing things.
Especially now.
Yeah, in the entire history of CSFBL.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing.
How much do you believe about D-Man? Do you think that's all true?
That he died?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Because, so, you know, I was not shy about my D-Man research. I had dug into him. I mean, you remember the post where I destroyed that Red Dog wife thing?
Exactly.
And so when Boise popped up that it had happened, I started digging into it, and I eventually found the obituary, which led me to his wife's Facebook page, which led me to his Facebook page, and there's a bunch of condolences on it, and it was legit. Don Armstrong is gone.
He's really going deep to infiltrate TCL.
Right? It may be true.
Yeah, I guess it should be. I probably shouldn't mock that. That's pretty bad karma.
No. But it is true. I thought about it. My very first thought was, who else disappeared just now? Because I wanted to know if it was anybody like on our wait list or that's been posting that just disappeared out of nowhere. There was only one person that disappeared out of nowhere, and that was, what's his name, that Moden has been looking for. Not Moden. Somebody's been looking for a while.
Oh, Neiman.
Yes, Neiman. Yeah, he disappeared too.
Jelly called him and actually spoke to him on the phone. This was less than a month ago.
Oh, he's still fine? He's good?
Yeah, his computer broke. You know, Neiman is not young.
Oh.
And I guess his computer broke and he decided he wanted to fix it or something. So he's, there's a thread. I'll probably have to bump it so you can read it. But he's doing well, I think.
Now he's down at the Villages running a babysitter club.
He could be. I need to find him.
Yeah.
I would let that guy watch my kids.
Absolutely.
Tell him stories about barrels of army men and how... I forget a lot about that guy, but he was a good man. He was really good.
For sure. So, you brought up the videos. Let's talk about the videos for a second. One of the most famous things about you were your videos. The first one, I think, was the Rage Tank video, right? The one you did of PR while you were sitting on the pot?
I think I did three of those.
That was the first videos, though, right?
Me pretending to be PR on the pot. Yeah, that was the first.
Those were so funny. And your cadence in that video was the funniest part about it, where you were very slow and deliberate, and then you threw in Rage Tank. Oh, my God. I was crying laughing at that. And you had this shower curtain with, like, goldfish on it.
Oh, we had some shower curtains. I'd use a different one every time. Goldfish and a monkey one. And, we had some kids' shower curtains. Those were good because Ben's was... his was some sort of animal. It was like a kid's shower curtain, too. I remember that. But I can't find the video anymore.
I can't find any of the videos. Are your videos still somewhere? Do they live somewhere?
Yeah, they all exist. I might have taken them offline. I thought I made all of them unlisted so they couldn't be searched for.
Yeah.
But they all definitely exist. If they don't, I'll get them back out there. I think crawl in the compendium at some point as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, let me check. I put a bunch of my videos as unlisted, too. There's a couple that probably will never see the light of day again, but maybe I'll show them to people every once in a while that are, like, back when I was drunk and I was talking about women, and it wasn't good.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about the videos, I got this nagging cough, I'm sorry about that, is I have never done a second take on any of those videos. Those are all first takes. I got in, got out.
Nice.
Obviously, if there was going to be a second take, I'd have second took that tree fort one with all that wind.
I just found that. That's the one video that's in the compendium of yours, is the tree fort. That one was pretty damn funny, how you got the sunglasses to descend. You put some work into that.
I did put a little bit of work. Oh, I hope a video doesn't start while I'm looking for these. I did definitely put some work into the props for that one. And I was kind of upset the way the sunglasses thing worked out. I really wanted them to descend smooth and just put them on my face, but that was a failure. But it turned out to be a funny failure.
Yeah, it's hilarious because you even have... And it must have been right after I posted that draft lottery one where I copied it from Leg, because you got the jerseys up, you have the Kirby Puckett fat head. Uh-oh.
Okay, you know how to do it. Just press the forward button four times. All right, hold that thought. I need 30 seconds.
All right. So I don't know if the video is going to... the audio from the video is going to come through in the podcast, but I'm going to try and play it. I've never tried to do this before. Let me see if it works. I don't think that's coming through.
All right, I didn't really need 30 seconds. Let's see.
That didn't work. I tried to play your video and get the audio to come through, but I don't think it worked. I don't know what I'm doing. This is amateur hour.
Yeah, I don't see them either. They must be hidden somewhere. The oldest one that I got is the one that I named Bill, which is the Gizoogle thing, where I talk about Tokyo Drift being the fat porno.
I don't even remember. I mean, I remember that video, but I couldn't place it. You're going to have to send me a link to it.
That was just too funny, but that wasn't anything I did. I was just reading off a sheet of paper, and... Actually, I only recorded it once, but I had to read that sheet of paper probably 50 times before I could get through it without laughing.
Was it the same one as the 19 on the 19th?
Yeah, but I ran it through that thing that Cubs posted.
Gizoogle.
So, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
And so that was nothing creative on my part. It was just me reading a sheet of paper.
No, that's still good. Yeah, you'll have to share that link with me. I want to post it up.
Yeah, I'll get the rest of those videos out here.
So
now my YouTube is littered with kid recordings and stuff like that.
You and I have been like inexorably linked on a lot of the creative stuff that we've done. Kind of like we're playing off of each other. And one of the best things that you ever did was you picked the Classies back up.
Oh, yeah, I did that. Oh, don't play.
I'm actually looking at it right now because I did the first and second Classy Awards, and you did the third, fourth, and fifth.
Yeah, the fifth, I retired after that one. I'll never go back and do another one. That one was as good as I could get.
Yeah, there's some really good ones in here.
Well, actually, the Classy Awards, that was the first one that I did. Okay, so I have... We'll just have to watch this video later. I'll get you the links. I'm not going to try to do that now.
All right, I'll post them up when I post up the podcast.
Okay, sounds good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm going to have to go through these Classies and read them again. If you come to Vegas, we'll do a Classies in person.
Oof. All right. That sounds like something we should probably do. It also sounds like it's something that would be incredibly awful, but I'm sure it would be hilarious.
Well, I also thought doing a wolf game in person would be awful, and it was one of the most fun things we did in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it sounded like everybody that was there, it sounded like the wolf game and the parlay, I guess, the trifecta.
Yeah. Yeah, that was big, too. So, speaking of wolf games, you're a big fan of doing wolf games, right?
I like to participate.
Are you playing in the one that starts tomorrow?
I signed up.
Nice.
I don't know what my activity will be like, but sometimes that works out well. You know, you could either be incredibly active and come up with nothing, or just... in the back of my head, I remember the one that Croco showed up on Monday and read an entire weekend worth of posts and picked out three wolves. So sometimes it's just luck of the draw. I don't think I have any particular skill for the game, but I like to play.
Oh, I think you do. I think you're pretty pragmatic. You stay pretty calm, even if people are accusing you. You think things through logically. No, I think you're a pretty strong player.
I didn't go far enough in the last game with the I even forget what the tactic was, but trying to get those guys to do that.
That was Knights of the Round Table, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's when I was doing the podcast concurrently with it.
Yeah, that was a tough game.
It was. My thing is, every game I try to find a way to break it on whoever created it. I like try and think of what's unique about this game and how I can totally exploit it to make the game not go the direction they want it to.
Yeah, I know that's something that Clone tries to avoid whenever he makes a game, because he's been making most of them lately. He's trying to make games that have to go the way he intends them to go. So it's almost like it's an even bigger game.
Yep, and he always gets so frustrated when the game's not going exactly how he expected, and it's a wolf game. It's never going to go the way he intended.
Right. They're good diversions. They're really good mental exercises, I guess, is what I get out of it.
For sure. You know what I realized is that my entire life has been a wolf game. I was thinking a lot about this. Like, my entire life, one of the things that's always depressed me is I've always had, like, adequacy issues with myself, where I don't feel like I'm deserving of anything good that happens to me. And, like, when I'm at work, when I was a hotel manager, where I'm at now, I always feel like I don't belong there. There'd be somebody better to do it. I felt like that my entire life. So one way that I've used the wolf game to compensate for that is now I start to think, well, it's not that I'm incompetent. It's that I'm a wolf inside the village. And so it's my goal to make these people believe that I actually belong here, when really the whole time I'm just waiting to eat those bitches at night.
You know, sometimes those mental gymnastics of, you know, playing those games, they do work in real life as well. Convincing yourself that you're a wolf and that you're, I mean, that can really help you be successful. And it's a bit of a stretch, but playing games, this works for me, is turning work into a game, or turning something that you don't like into a game is one technique that I use to get through things. And, you know, convincing yourself that you're a wolf and you need to convince them so that you can eat them, that might work.
It's worked so far. I've used it for a couple years now. I enjoy it. It does make work fun.
I like to try to walk around the building at work and not let anybody see me. That's not anything like the Wolf game, but that's my favorite work game.
All right, all right. So now, is the entire building people you work with? So
yeah.
What I'm asking is, could you be seen on all four sides of the building potentially?
No. No, everybody's inside the building, people I work with.
But oh, like, so you're trying to walk around inside of the building without being seen.
Let's say I got to walk by 40 people. Maybe that's a lot. Maybe 20 people to get to the bathroom or something, you know, and I'll, like, do army crawl down there to, so nobody sees me. And
no, you don't. Do you really?
I have, yeah.
That's awesome. And so has anybody caught you crawling on the ground?
Yeah.
And yeah, did you just say, I'm playing Nightcrawlers?
I you caught me, you know? Yeah. No, I didn't say Nightcrawlers. Yeah, I'm kid. So go back to my desk. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of a jackass at work.
A good jackass.
I guess. I enjoy that. Keep it light.
Yeah. Keep it fun. Now, when you're at work, do you throw out as many obscure references as you do on the forums?
Yeah, actually. I get a lot of my reference. I repeat some things that I hear that just deserve to be repeated. There's some guys in my group that are, a lot of times with movies and stuff. Like, I don't watch a lot of movies. And then I hear about them there, and then I'll go watch the movie that they're referencing. But a lot of times that I'm throwing things out and guys are repeating them back. And sadly, one of the most common things is that's what she said jokes. But they go with anything.
I should have just said that's what she said when you said that. That's what she said jokes are my favorite. I also like to repeat what somebody just said and then add your mother to it. You know?
My other favorite game is when somebody's on a personal call in the office, or even when they're on a regular call, is just pretend they're talking to you and you answer them.
And just keep doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too.
It seems like when somebody's on the phone really trying to make them crack up. And my previous job, the guy would buy a lot, he would do a lot of purchasing. And he was so good, you could never make him crack up. But I tried every day. And he's talking to customers, and he was pretty incredible at maintaining.
He kept his poise, huh?
Yeah.
You know, the joke I just played today on the phone is, I walked into a meeting that was already going, pretending to be on my cell phone, and I said, if you can't get this shit done, I'm going to find somebody that can. And everybody looked back at me like, oh my God, because I never get mad. I'm a really happy person around the office. So it took them aback a little bit. And then I finished it with, okay, I love you too, Grandma. And then just hung up.
That's great.
Yeah. To just on the record, I would never replace Grandma Havy with anyone else. Grandma Havy, if you're listening. She turns 90 years old on Friday, Grandma Havy does.
Yeah, that's a long time.
That is a long time, and she's still driving around like a boss, driving herself around, playing bridge.
There's a club for that.
Getting knocked up by sailors. Grandma Havy. Oh, man. So, you mentioned Croco earlier. Let's talk about Croco for a second. You always had a thing with Croco because you took over his team. That was the Laredo Lone Rangers, right?
No, the Lone Rangers, they were my first team. I was after PR in that team.
Yeah, that was the Provengla Plague.
Yeah, the Lone Rangers, that was my good team name. My bad team name was the Choklahoma Comic Strips.
Yeah, that was the Croco team.
Yeah, talk about instant regret on a team name.
And you started a domino effect of bad team names, because then Ken came back and made himself the Kenduhar something or other.
Afro was first. He made the Afro Ken.
Oh, yeah, African Jarheads.
Yeah. But yeah, that was dumb. fellas.
Yeah, you started that.
Well, Krakow was out of the league, so I guess I could have just renamed them. Who's going to tell me no? But I just stayed with it at that point. I had, once the names get into spreadsheets, it's a pain to change those.
I didn't think Chocolahoma Comic Strips was a bad name. I like that name.
Okay. No, I didn't. I just thought it was dumb after a point, but it's just a team name. What team name's not dumb? I don't know if I like the Effingham Slappers, but the rest of them, everybody else that's listening, your team names are dumb.
Yeah. You know, I mean, my team name was named after my high school team, and I didn't even play baseball at my high school. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And it was the Cardinals. Now I'm a Brewers fan.
Yeah, that's got to be tough.
Yeah, that got a little weird.
Yeah.
I got a Cardinal hanging in the room I'm in right now, though.
Nice. I have. I still have that really, really small Brewers cap that I ate ice cream out of at Miller Park.
Yeah.
Yep, I wore it when Ryan Braun got busted. I put the helmet on, took a picture of me, and said that I had Ryan Braun head.
Well, to be fair though, he got exonerated, so he was innocent.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Everybody's innocent.
That's what I say. You met up with Was Moten the one person that you've met from the league?
Yeah, I spent about 15 minutes with him. We went to a...
At a baseball game, right?
We were going to a Cardinal-Giants game. And I thought he was a Giants fan, so I don't know why I thought that. But we quickly got that under control. But then they had a tornado in the St. Louis area. And we booked it out of there, and I decided I wanted to get back to my car and get home because I was traveling, if this makes any sense, but I was traveling east so I could get out in front of the storm, and he was going back to his hotel a different direction. So he bought me a beer, and we didn't have a second beer, so I got one on him.
Yeah, he owes you, you owe him $9.
I do. It was probably $9. It was really close to that. That was the best beer I ever had.
And you love the Cardinals so much that you actually named yourself after the same Cardinal twice.
Yeah. Well.
Right? Because wasn't your original name Joaquin?
I think he was my second account. Like at some point in time, you could only have two teams. I was pretty casual player at the time, but I was named after Andujar because more than him being a Cardinal, he was fun, and I was a kid. He was a pitcher, and you can look at his stats. He's an awful, awful hitter, but I don't know if I've ever seen anybody swing harder than him. And he talked kind of funny. He was a Dominican. He said things like, "You never know." And that was one word to him. He was fun.
You never know?
Yeah.
You never know. So, wait, you had three accounts then? What was your first one?
Just two.
Joaquin and then Andujar.
Yeah.
No one was ever going to figure out that those were linked once you started making trades with yourself.
Yeah. Actually, Andujar was my first one because... I've used that name in other places, but not that that makes any difference.
So we call you Jar, but really it should be Har.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Which is a good name because you make people laugh more on the forums than anybody.
I don't know. I think...
You have, like, legendary humor status in CSFBL.
Well, that's only because I hired Wolf to beg you.
So you Did you say you hired Wolf to neg me? Is that what you said?
I tried to sneak that in there.
I don't know. Did you listen to the podcast where I talked to him?
Yeah. Yes.
So I got to come clean about something. I meant to do this on a podcast at some point. So I went into that podcast with a bet that I had made with somebody that will remain nameless for a good sum of money that during the podcast I was going to get him to admit that he was a homosexual. And I came so close to getting him to admit that he was gay.
He's a tremendous sport. He really is.
Yeah, because I was really pressuring him.
If he is, I guess Bill would say that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't suspect. I have less suspicions of him than I have of. I don't really care about anybody's sexuality in the league.
No.
But he seems perfectly straight to me. I mean.
Oh no, he's Wolf is definitely gay.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Hey, you've seen the videos. He just happens to be living with a small Asian man that never wears a shirt.
Yeah, that happens. I had a roommate once.
No, that doesn't just happen. No.
All right, I'm going to stop playing.
I lost that bet under protest because I felt like he still admitted it basically when he said, in my, something along the lines of, in my business, people are very judgmental. I don't remember exactly what he said, but it, something along those lines. And I was like, that, you said it without saying it.
You might have got him. I don't know.
I think I got him.
I didn't pick up on that, but I usually listen to the podcast at work.
Yeah.
That might change now if I got some quiet time at night, but I usually listen to work, and I've listened to a couple of them more than once. That one I haven't. But things can slip by me because you get people try to talk to you at work and get you to answer the phone or do things. So it's very distracting there.
There's a group of people I need to get on the podcast because I have some secret information that I need to unleash. I'm going to break serious news on the podcast. But I just need to get off my ass and get this group of people together.
You can break news on this podcast.
No, I can't. I can't do it because I got to corner them. I got to get them to admit it. I got to slow roll them into it, and then boom, bitch, I got you. I'm gonna get them.
So now I'm a little apprehensive. What do you got on me?
I got one thing on you. You, and now it's about to come out, so get ready.
I'm prepared.
Hold on to your hat. You are the one that discovered that the left field, right field bug had come back when Trickett reloaded an old version of the code.
Yeah.
And did you tell anybody about it, or did you exploit it before you told people?
It had to happen once, otherwise I wouldn't have known. I didn't really exploit it. I know I put it somewhere.
Is the bug still in place?
I think so. I did ask Ryan a private message like I did last time when I said, hey, this is happening. Here's my evidence. Check this guy out. Because I did it for like 3 seasons before I told him, because I wanted a little bit out of it. I found the bug. I wanted to make sure it was a bug before I bothered him with it.
Yeah.
But this time I think I just maybe kind of told Reds in passing. I don't know. That's not a very efficient way of conversing a bug.
It wasn't your job. Okay. You know what? I can't keep a lid on it anymore. I'm going to tell you what the secret is. Did you listen to the Boise podcast?
Yeah, I definitely listened to it.
Okay, so after that podcast, during the podcast, Boise Boise, I got Boise to admit that he was part of a CSFBL secret society called the Cabal. And the Cabal was made up of him, PR, Pimp, and Ken. And what I got him to admit to on the podcast was that they used the secret Cabal to bid each other up in trade negotiations to, I shouldn't say screw somebody, but to get people to increase their bids on trades.
Huh.
That seems ethically questionable. Seems ethically wrong, right?
Yes, that is collusion.
That is collusion. That's illegal. And then I got him to admit that they had done it in TCL. And so I expected the lid to be blown off this thing and everybody to be super pissed off at those four guys in TCL. It never gained a lot of traction.
Okay? I really didn't pick up on that part.
Well, then you were not paying attention because it came up pretty clearly.
I have trouble with a few of them. So I might have... And also...
Well, the audio quality sucked on that one, too, because of Boise. He lives in Philly.
Yeah. Fucking Philly.
Their audio sucks as worse as their fans. And my grammar, apparently. Their audio sucks as bad as their fans, is what I meant to say. All right, so then I started digging into the Cabal more. And here's the secret. I'm about to break news on the Threads of Time podcast. And Boise, PR, Ken, Pimp, if you're listening, fess up about this because it's true, bitch. It's true. So I found out that the left field, right field bug that you discovered was because there was a fifth member of the Cabal, and it was Trickett. And when Trickett started getting all pissy with Brian for whatever reason, or, you know, they had their little falling out, or maybe it was with Reds or both or whatever it was, Trickett started leaking confidential info about the coding of the game to the Cabal that they started exploiting for their own use. And that came up most specifically, or where I can point to a place where it definitely showed, was when PR started accidentally, I think, talking about how it didn't matter what the range of the shortstop was specifically, it mattered what the range of the infield was, and then the range was divided evenly amongst the infield, and that determined if the ball was going to be caught or not. And then after that, it based on a ratio between the four spots, where the ball was hit. And so this was information nobody had ever heard before. And as soon as PR put it out, Ken posted right away, "Shut up." And PR's like, "I thought everybody knew that." And they had some offline discussions where there was a bit of a falling out with the Cabal, and then they knocked that thread down, the list. They didn't edit it, but they knocked it down. So, what's that?
I don't know where I was.
So, for an extended period of time, those four guys were using information that they got from Trickett before Trickett went out with a ball of flames out of the game. And that is one of the contributing factors to why those four guys were so successful during that time period. Boom. I just broke news. Answer for yourselves. Cabal? Bunch of cheaters?
One of the lasting, truths of CSFBL in general is there's been, you know, the whole Vargas Rudick thing. There was other things that happened. So a lot of people have inside access, and, you know, Reds with the World Series in 45, We could talk about that for hours. We know what happened there.
We definitely know what happened there. And, you know, that's the one advantage to the Wolf game, like we were talking about before, is it really shows the tells when people are lying. And Reds was clearly lying about that. He fixed that World Series for himself.
Yeah, I feel really bad for Hank. I mean, I want to give him that title. I want to change it so like the West Virginia Ninjas have a title, because they clearly were the better team, and they would have won if there wasn't a lot of re-simming going on.
Every team in that playoffs was better than Reds.
And did you see when they had the new website up and they had the ratings yearly progression? Did you see Denton True's player card?
No. Oh, maybe.
He gained some significant ratings.
Oh, that's right. He gained ratings right before that season.
Oh man, that guy. He's got a big asterisk behind him. I would probably say that Moreno is probably the number one pitcher. Cole, due to his early death, is probably going to be number two. And True may be number three without the help. There's a lot of good pitchers that I would consider better than True after seeing that he was tampered with.
Wow, that's interesting. So, yeah, so Appalachia... Or, well, back then Cincinnati finished second in their division to Nashville, but then beat them in six games. And then they beat, let's see, who did they beat? Or they beat Nashville in five games, and then they beat Effingham in five games. And then they beat, West Virginia in six. Yeah, there is no way. Yeah, so there's three examples of community managers cheating. Goalkeeper, the original cheater. Reds, and then Trickett. And vis-a-vis the cabal.
Starting to make Magoo look pretty honest.
And I would like to point one thing out. The only reason anybody knows that Reds cheated is because I got him. And now the only reason anybody knows the cabal cheated is because I got him. I am the real investigative news journalist of CSFBL. Red Dog's wife.
You are. You big, dig.
Big Tweed's wife. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Yep. Got them all. And you didn't even realize it, but you had uncovered the cabal's plan with the left field, right field bug.
I am I'm an unwitting detective.
Yeah.
That wasn't even my biggest, my most proud achievement in the game. Was and this thread has long been covered up because after I did it, I sent Brian a PM and told him what happened is I made a thread and I made a trade offer to Kaz just for some crabby guy.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. This is good.
I copied the link for accept and I rickrolled him. So I said, hey, Kaz, check this out. Click this link, and when he clicked the link, he accepted the trade. Oh, that was so proud achievement in the game. You can have your World Series tiles. Fantastic.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Did he know what he had done right when he clicked it?
He did. He's like, what happened here? I've looked for that thread a couple times because I know I edited my post, but you know. I'm a commissioner now, so I should be able to put it back. But then I told Brian, you can't do that anymore, I think. I don't know what
happened. No, you can't. I tried it.
Because now there's a confirmation. And you want to accept this trade? Like, anybody's going to cancel now.
I don't even think it goes to it anymore. I think it knows somehow.
Yeah, that would be nice that if it did.
That's really funny.
I've done some usability testing for the CSFBL. That's my only contribution. I've definitely been a play for free guy. Although I did turn my ads back on when Spataya said, you know, you should leave ads on. So I did that at home.
I don't know if I have my ads on or not. Oh, yeah, I have ads on. I'm looking at some beautiful Philips Norelco shavers right now.
I'm trying not to touch my computer because if the audio is coming in clear, I don't want to mess with it.
Yeah, the audio is coming through great.
I have my list up of my my 21 things. You said you had 21 things to talk about.
Yeah, so, I got four left.
And we're doing good.
Yeah, we're killing it. What do you got on that list that I haven't talked about?
A couple guys I'm not interested in talking about.
Isham, he's on my list. You want to talk about him? Hollingshead?
Who?
Hollingshead.
Yeah, Isham and Hollingshead. Yeah, that guy. I didn't hate him as much as I said I did, but if it were real life, I definitely would have.
Yeah.
For a guy, he's got really good ratings, and he did really poor for me, and then I sold him one for like 2 cents on the dollar to Wolf, and
then he like blew up, started hitting 50 home runs,
destroyed it. Yeah, of course Hollingshead was a Hall of Famer. That didn't work out too good for me.
We all have those trades we regret. I made a trade with Moden the other year, and so it was like after Moden had finished dead last in the league like 3 years, and I traded him Ernesto Kemp, who's a all-star catcher, and we swapped first-round picks because I'm figuring I'm going to move up like 16, 17 picks because my pick's definitely going to be 24, 23, 24. Well, all of a sudden, Moden brings up all of his good players from the lows that he had been tanking and banking, and he ended up finishing with a better record than me. So I actually gave him Ernesto Kemp and dropped spots. That was one of my worst trades ever.
That's not good. I've seen a lot of that done by Gad and Cubs. I try to learn something from everybody. But what I see Gad and Cubs doing a lot is they trade their pick before they trade in to get talent.
Yep.
Their pick lined up, their pick's going to take a hit as soon as they bring in that superstar. So they trade that pick away while it has more value. And they're really good at that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not any cabal stuff at all. They're just smart.
Yep. Yeah, they're good at that. They trade with each other a lot, too. But it's always on the up and up. Like, the trades are always fair.
It's always one guy going in one way and one guy going the other, though. It's easy to make those trades.
Yeah.
If I'm getting rid of talent because I'm on the downswing, giving it to the other guy, I'm sure it's a lot easier to negotiate with your brother than it would be to negotiate with some other jackass half a country away.
And that league is full of jackasses. So your franchise, how many teams do you have right now?
Maybe like six or so. If you're looking at it, that League of Legends one, I signed up for that because Joe asked. I haven't looked at the team, and then because the team I picked had 1.5 million in scouting, and I just couldn't get myself to even look at it at that point. And then I didn't fix it the next preseason, so I'm just holding that Gad squad.
I don't see a team for you in League of Legends.
League of Lords.
Oh, League of Lords. That's what it is.
Yeah. But I got Relegation League. I got the Cardinals League that I've been in forever. And then A New Beginning. Those are the three I really play in. I signed up for one league because I was tailing O'Price around. With O'Price guy. Do you know him?
Uh, OP Rice, real name, no gimmicks.
I don't know his name.
No, I don't know who he is. No.
He's been putting up some tremendous teams. So I was like, I want to compete against him and or steal his tactics. So, and then I signed up for the team, and then I never did anything with it. But I got a few teams.
You got one named Las Vegas Vandals, which you can see play here next month.
Yeah, certainly. I did not rename that team. Oh yeah, Chi Beta Federation. Yeah, I've been pulling the metal pile plan there. I'm trying to lose as many games as possible for a decade, and then I'm going to try to win for a decade.
So how'd you come up with the franchise name Rabid Fisherman?
I just think fishermen are like calm people. I don't know.
Not rabid fishermen.
Yeah, not the rabid ones.
No, they're the exact opposite. They're frothing at the mouth, biting fish with their teeth.
I just pulled it out of the air. Like most things I say, it's just two words that seem to come to my head.
Really? So there is no thought behind it?
No, none.
No meaning?
No. So it's kind of a lame story, but yeah, there's nothing there.
It's kind of weird that animals kill things with their face, right?
Yeah, it is weird.
All right? I mean, like, we do everything with our hands. It would be like every other animal kills things with their face. I bet a rabid fisherman would kill things with its face.
I would think so.
I would think so, too. I don't know.
Those leagues, though, I also signed up for them. I think this is pretty common knowledge, but so I got this system of spreadsheets now. It's basically how I just play the game, because it takes the work out of it. So I got all the rosters and the spreadsheets extrapolated, and I got the draft list, which I get the numbers, and that's why I was going to post them in the relegation league, because it didn't take any time. I get the full scout of the draft list in 5 minutes. And then I wrote a spreadsheet to extrapolate the free agent list, because I thought I was missing free agents. And then I wanted to test it out on some leagues, but I didn't like any of the leagues that I had for testing it. So that's when I signed up for those other leagues.
How do I get my hands on that?
I don't know. Maybe we can talk offline about that.
All right.
I've sent a few of them out before. I'm not hoarding it in any stretch, but they're also not... They're not production quality spreadsheets in terms of, I got like a couple of them have 10 steps that I have to go through, and I can do them in 10 minutes, but I sent Bengal and I sent Reds a copy of the expanded standings spreadsheet, and both of them had trouble using it because the web query stuff I use, I'm getting really technical here, I guess. Anyway. It didn't work too well for them, and I was like, and then I didn't want to troubleshoot it, because why would you want to troubleshoot that? This is a game. Like, if it don't work, it don't work. But then, you know, I felt a little bad. I sent Red something that doesn't work, and he's putting all these things into the game. So I tried to help him, but I really didn't want to.
So you have a website where you have a couple of those tools already, though, right?
Yeah. Definitely the draft list poster, not the draft list itself, but the thread for drafting. I got one of those in the TCL style, and then I got one of them in the LEG style, which is block draft. So you can just copy and paste it.
What website is that?
BakeDB.com, and then it's got some address after it.
So
I never really did a great job of building out anything that I built. It was mostly for me, by me, sort of thing. It's a link there, and I know I put the link somewhere. I think Mac has both of them, because he seems to be posting the lists.
For a long time, even after no one else was playing, I was still playing fakebb.com.
Nice. I checked the database a few times. You and Pip played it pretty long.
Yeah, I had a good collection going. Actually, I just got everybody their allowance just now.
Nice. It's still up.
I know. I'm playing it right now.
I renewed the site. I have. I guess it'd be moments of inspiration where I think I'm gonna start doing this again. You know, I think I'm gonna resurrect Andy Hart's Baseball Misadventure, or another thing I thought about doing from time to time was all those games we play on the forum, like automating NFL Pick 2.
Ooh, yeah. That would be really helpful.
It always sounds good for a couple minutes, and then I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. But, yeah, it would, because the 1 year that I actually maintained the NFL Pick 2, like, I almost gave up on it. It became just a big pain.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I was talking to Clone the other night and saying how nice it would be if somebody would go back and do the history of all the Wolf games and have that in one place. It's always been a pain to find all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how likely that is.
No, it's never going to happen now. There's been dozens of them.
I found a lot of them and tagged them. Some point in time, like if you search for the Wolf game tag, however you do that, I don't really remember. You'd see them all there. The other way to get them is to go to the Classic League forum and
search by posts.
Yeah, almost all in the first couple pages.
The other big accomplishment that you did in CSFBL was the ladder rankings.
Oh boy, yeah, that was another thing that I ran for a while, and that got to be really overwhelming. I was doing it in a spreadsheet for the first couple months, and it had to be automated. And then it didn't look good. But I actually had the forum so people could be reporters and they could go report their leagues, and it kept up on its own as long as you had to go report it. But that was kind of neat. I really enjoyed seeing that. It was flawed in that the first league that reported the World Series, which was like Remake. So Pimp was number one, and Pimp's never going to fall out of number one if he starts at number one.
Yeah, but over time it became more and more accurate.
It did. You definitely saw a lot of the TCL guys and the really active owners going up to the top. And the other thing that I really liked about it was it did have everybody's playoff record in there. So like you would be able to see that, you know, Spintias was in a billion playoffs and he had all these games played. His record in the playoffs was like 500 or something like that. It was really neat for a while.
Yeah, I liked it. All right, so we're right at that hour and a half mark of the podcast, and at this point I do the same thing every time. I give you, my guest, the opportunity to get anything that you want off your chest. You can put somebody on blast. You can say nice things. You can just throw out something from your 21 item list. Anything you want to do, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, I told you I wasn't going to do it, but I think I've changed my mind. I am going to do it.
Do it.
Well, first, I just wanted to, before I do it, I want to thank everybody, TCL, CSFBL community. You guys have really helped me through some tough times, and not just recently, like, you know, the whole time I've been here, everything with advice, with distraction, with information. And I I'd tell everybody that I had this collective of 23 guys searching the internet for me. That's how I knew some stuff. But no, you guys have made the easy times better. And you really are all great people, but the possible exception of Croco. Candy Crush, oh man. I gotta say, people haven't been taking advantage of this shout out opportunity. So what I did is I actually prepared a statement.
Oh, wow, this is big.
Are you scared?
No, I'm excited.
All right, here we go. All right, I'm Har, and I want you to know that I too have a TCL bucket list. Sadly, my TCL bucket didn't move to Florida, so I can't have quite as many items as that other guy wearing a suit at the tree fort. So I limited it to a top 10. So I'll do it Letterman style because he's out now. Number 10 was to actually watch a ball game with Moden.
Yeah.
Number 9, and invite Croco to play CSFBL through Facebook. I think the Devs really needs to make this a possibility. If only for sending invites to Croco. Like, we could all do it.
Good idea.
Great. I want to get a real Kirby Puckett fathead.
Yes.
Not Kirby's really fathead. I don't want to put Kirby's really head, real head on my wall. I mean, I'd probably hang it from a ceiling fan anyway. But no. I want a fat head of Kirby Puckett to put on my wall. One of those big poster things. I think I said that clear. That went well. All right, number 7, don't make another Classies. I think we covered that, but hopefully I get out to Vegas and maybe we can break that rule.
Yeah, maybe.
Number 6, visit Red's neighborhood on trash day and put the entire block's trash at his house. I think that would be amazing. And then, like, I could run it over with my car.
That is a great idea.
Number 5, I don't remember these anymore, so I hope they're not dumb. Number 5, keep using the same TCL inside jokes until they aren't funny. Then keep using the same TCL inside jokes until they are funny. Oh, that's what I already do. Never mind.
That'll always be funny.
Repetition is funny. Number 4, become a CIO, a chief internet officer. Number 3...
Wait, was that a shot at me?
No. Actually, that was a shot at Jelly. When Jelly got his job, I asked him if he was the chief internet officer. I think it's his current job, and maybe the one before that. I don't know. That was just.
That's funny.
It wasn't really a shot. It was just something I made up that was completely stupid.
All right.
Number 3, see a team that I root for win the belt.
Yeah. It's been all teams that no one wants to win.
I know everybody I root for loses.
Yeah.
So go slappers. Number 2, endorse joke for damn construction on LinkedIn. That guy, he needs some endorsements.
He definitely does.
Number 1, quit CSFBL. Spend my days drinking on a porch with Kit, mocking everything.
Boom.
Yeah, there you have it.
There is the top 10, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody actually came prepared for the first time. I've done almost 30 podcasts, and no one's ever come prepared for their spotlight.
I just need somebody to one-up me.
I love it.
Set the bar so I can go over it.
I love it. That's awesome, man. Anything else on your top 21 list?
No. I think we hit almost everything on this thing. The only thing that I did have on here was my prize closet / box. I'm going to have to get that guy out and start sending those things away.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of people waiting by the mailbox. You owe things.
I know. But no, I got nothing else on it. I think we covered everything I could possibly think about. Unless
you want. Woo! Well, man, this was a long time coming. I'm glad we finally got it done. You know, we were talking about this all the way back to, like, a conversation that you and I had on the phone while I was in an airport trying to figure out how and when we were going to get this done. So, you know, months later, I'm really glad that you did it. And And I have one more thing. I almost missed my opportunity because we were supposed to do this. It's Monday night. We were supposed to do this Sunday night at 9. And I was resting on the couch, and all of a sudden I woke up, and it was 4 a.m. I slept through the whole thing. And I look at my phone, and there's a text from Jar that just says, "Hey, is it Sunday?" And then the next one was, "You must be scouting the relegation league draft." I was doing no such thing. I was sleeping. Sorry about that.
Hey, it worked out. It was fine. Last night the kids were up later than they were tonight. It would have been a little more hectic.
It all worked out for a reason.
We only had 3 visits from the girl, so.
And she was very well behaved. You raised a good kid.
She's raising herself.
Well, those boys are raising her.
Yeah, no, I hope
7-year-old's gonna raise her.
She's in charge of this place.
That's awesome. All right, stick on the line for a second. Everybody listening, thank you very much for listening to the comeback of the Threads of Time podcast. Special thanks to my guest, Jar, for coming on the podcast. He's been on my list of people to talk to since I started this podcast. I'm looking at the board right now. It literally says Clone, Kaz, Jar. Those were the first 3 names, and I hunted them all down over time, and he was my last one that I had to get. So, Jar, thank you very much for being on the podcast. All of you listening, thank you. This podcast is averaging 136 listens per episode, and I'm not sure how the hell that's possible, unless there's a lot of weirdos out there just listening to this podcast and have no idea what the hell they're listening to. I'd also like to thank Trickett for fucking up the game and screwing with the cabal. You people have things to answer for now. So get on the forums. Atone for your actions, bitches. And that is it. Until next time, this is the Threads of Time podcast. And we are out, bitch.
And now, the moment you've all...